Amen. Greetings in the worthy name of Jesus. The love of God is more to me than all this world could ever be. Hallelujah. Brother Ephraim, I thought of, as you were sharing, a sincere heart of expression of love is powerful, isn't it? Like I thought of when you said how you wrote that little love note to your wife and stuck it in her Bible. And hallelujah, she was delivered from her pain. Well, it may not always be a love note, but love is powerful. Love is more powerful than hate. Many waters or many trials and afflictions and troubles and distresses cannot quench love when love is genuine and real, because love is of God and God is love. Love is so powerful. Let's open our Bibles this morning. Hallelujah, we have our Bibles with us today. What a blessing. Our brother Samuel has a cover on his Bible, and it says this book is outlawed in how many countries, Samuel? 52 countries. But here we are this morning, and yes, there's a lot of corruption and defilement in our land, but we yet have our Bibles. We yet have the privilege to meet to worship the Lord our God this morning, together like this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning in verse 20. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Purge himself from these. Back up to verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Purge himself from these, and he'll be a vessel to honor. Back up to verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto the more ungodliness. I'm not sure how long ago it was that I shared a message here concerning our vessel. And we talked about possessing our vessel unto sanctification and honor. And we talked about having leaks in our vessel. And how that drains the life right out of us when we have leaks in our vessel. You know, leaks in our vessel may be of various types and forms. Some of them may be rather small, and they just cause some leakage. Some of them may be larger, and they cause more leakage. And you know, eventually a vessel that is full of holes, it will not be able to contain any water. it will not be able to contain the contents that are to be contained in that vessel. So we talked about that, and we looked at a number of different things, and then I shared that at some point in time, if God would so grant it, I would desire to preach a message that is on the other side of the coin. And that is a vessel that is prepared. It is fit, and it is meet for the Master's use. But I thought before we go into that message, it would just do us good to revisit the fact of what is going on in my life. Are there leaks in my vessel? Now, if I'm not careful, I made so many holes in this, I'll have it on the floor. But are you empty and dry this morning? Are there leaks in your vessel? Leaks of ungodliness. Leaks of vain babblings, as we read there. Leaks of evil speaking. All manner of leaks of sin, lust of the flesh, of the pride of life. Leaks of selfishness. Vainglory. And on we could go. Are there leaks in your vessel? This message today can be a blessing to all of us. Whether we are single or whether we are married. Whether you're a young man or a young lady. Whether you have ambition for the mission field someday, some foreign field, or whether your calling is here. Like our brother Paul, as he teaches us, would say, if we can get this, this will be a blessing in our life all of our days. So this morning, I desire, by God's grace, to enter into a bit of a Bible study and have you all help me as we look at this matter. Prepared for your life calling may be an appropriate title. I also thought of this title, A Vessel Meet for the Master's Use. So I'm not sure for the tape ministry or the titling, Prepared for Your Life Calling, A Vessel Meet for the Master's Use. I would probably give it that title and subtitle. God is faithful by whom you were called. You were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Our calling is fellowship with Jesus Christ. Our calling is a union with Christ, a oneness with Christ. Our calling is a holy calling. He has saved us and called us with an holy calling. And our calling is for His purpose, which He has ordained before the world began in Christ. Our calling is to show forth His praises, who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Thou art worthy, Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. This word, meet for the Master's use, is found three times in the New Testament. Each other time in the New Testament it is translated profitable. Meet for the Master's use. Here's how we find the word used in the New Testament in the other two times it appears. And that is take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable unto me for the ministry. That's in 2 Timothy 4:11. And then in Philemon, it speaks who he was in time past unprofitable, but now he is profitable to thee and me. So this morning, if you feel like you're sort of stuck somewhere in the middle here, and your life is not as profitable as it could be, well, here he says of Mark, he was in time past unprofitable, but now is profitable to thee and to me. So brothers and sisters, there's hope for us. We can be changed. We can be changed by the power of Christ and the power of God from a vessel that is full of leaks and leaky to a vessel that is neat, prepared, profitable for the Master's use to contain the very presence of Christ within us. Isn't that wonderful? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, vessels come in all shapes and sizes. And that's how it is in the body of Christ. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't all have the same calling. But we're all vessels in fellowship and harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's design and purpose. You know, so one of us may be a vessel that looks a bit like a pitcher, and, you know, it may not be all that glamorous. It may not look all that grand. Others may be a vessel that has a little more shine to it and a little more appeal. And it can take a little bit more heat. You put this one on the burner, what's going to happen? You put this one on the burner, what's going to happen? But you know, God has given unto each one of us the measure of grace. And what God calls us to is to be faithful in what He's given to us. You know, vessels do come in all manner of shapes and sizes and types and kinds. And I am so glad for that, because not every vessel is suited for every occasion. It takes different vessels depending what we're doing. You know, just like there's brothers and sisters, and they have different gifts and callings and different abilities and various character traits and personalities, and oh, it's such a joy that in the body of Christ there are many different vessels. You know, here's one. It looks like a nice little serving bowl. Here's one that'll serve you sweetness, sugar, many different vessels. But what God is interested in this morning in you and I is that all of us know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. That we are vessels that are profitable unto the Master. This vessel is profitable unto me this morning because I am thirsty. Whenever I prepare to preach, I get so nervous. And one of the things that happens is I just sort of, I don't know, my blood circulation almost, it must really slow down. I get cold and I get very thirsty. And this vessel is able to give me drink, because the water that Brother Robert Davido put in here this morning hasn't leaked out. It's still here. Hallelujah. a vessel. Profitable. Meet for the Master's use. For we are His workmanship. We are God's own handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, born anew of the Spirit of God. We are created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship, born anew. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, the old things pass away and all things become new. Oh, this morning it's my heart's desire to exhort us that we may offer unto God our life, our vessel, a vessel that is purged, that is cleansed, that is sanctified, and that is prepared, and it is profitable unto honorable use for the King, whose we are. We belong to Jesus Christ. We are not our own. Just a little dipper. But you know what? If that little dipper has no holes in it, it will also be able to possess and hold what the Master has designed for that vessel to fulfill. You know, that little dipper is so valuable. You can measure out exactly what you need, and it will do the job. So if you're here this morning and you say, I am not like that. I am not like this person. I am just a little dipper. Do you think that matters to God if you are sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ and you love Him and you desire to delight in Him and to glorify Him with your life? You know what? God is much more able to use a little dipper in His hand than a proud big pitcher that wants to do His own thing. Vessels prepared, meet for the Master's use. I think I might even have some more. I wonder how many people are in this congregation this morning. I would dare say as many different people as are here this morning. So there are so many different giftings and callings and vessels and unique places for you to fill. This vessel is just very common. It doesn't even have any writing on the outside. But I've seen these vessels be used. Have you? And in the hand of the Master, this vessel contains exactly what is needed to do cleaning, washing. Pretty ordinary, isn't it? You know, but here's one now, and it's got some nice writing on the outside. And if this vessel looks at this vessel and says, I wish I were like this one, I am not going to do my job. Oh. One of the ways that the enemy works to try to get us into a place of uselessness is to begin to murmur and complain and to compare ourselves among ourselves. And that is not wise. Vessel, purged, cleansed, sanctified, meet for the Master's use. You know what? Is it great talent and glistening that God needs to get His job done? Is that what God needs? Or is it just simply
faithful, humble yieldedness in the hand of the Master. We want to look at a number of different ones here this morning. Of course, you must be born again. You must be washed. Like He says, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out and will bring you into your own land. And then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. So that is absolutely foundational to being a vessel that is usable and profitable unto the Master. You must be born again. You must receive a new heart. You must receive the Spirit of God in your life. You must be washed from all your filthiness and all your sin and uncleanness. You know, it's vain to try to polish up the outside of the vessel, which we saw the other evening so clearly in the message. You know, polishing the outside. And sometimes we polish the outside and we try to make it look pretty good, but you know, God looketh on the heart. And He sees what's in the heart. And within out of the heart come evil thoughts. Murder, fornication, adultery, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and all these evil things come from within and they defile the man. So we must be washed. And we must have a new heart. Be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. You must be born again. That is foundational. Or you cannot be a vessel unto sanctification and honor. Prepared for your life calling. What is it that makes a person usable in the hands of the Master? And what is it that makes a person unusable in the hand of the Master? You know, I like to bring this message down real practical. We could talk about people that, you know, in order to be usable for God, you need to pray so much a day, and you need to read your Bible so much, and you need to. You need to pray, you need to have a relationship with God, you need to have fellowship with God, you need to love the Word of God, and believe it, and obey it. And that is all true. But I like to today, see if we can bring this down to some real practical life, everyday living. Because isn't that often where we are either qualified or disqualified? So help me out. What are some real practical ways in which we can be a vessel prepared, fitted, and profitable in the Master's hand? What would you say if you had to put it on a scale of number one? What is the number one requirement to be a usable vessel in God's hand as a Christian? Somebody want to give me one? Just shout it out. We won't.
To be humble.
To be humble. Yes. Another one that would maybe coincide.
Broken.
Broken. And what do we mean by humble and broken? What is that? Somebody tell me another word.
Surrender,
contrite,
teachable,
yes, yielded,
putting no confidence in the flesh.
So, we might say the first thing is to be a broken.
B-R-O-K-E-N. Broken. Humble. Alright, so if that is what it takes to be a usable vessel, what is the opposite that will make you unusable? What is it? Brother Luke?
Pride.
Pride. What else? How else might we say it?
Selfishness.
Yes. Pride. Self. stubborn.
You know, I'm going to run out of room very soon.
Unteachable.
All right.
Many, many more we can look at. A vessel meet for the master's use. A vessel that is prepared. You know what? If you are single or married, will this benefit you in your life either way? What if I never go to the foreign field and my calling is to be at home and just fulfill menial tasks of every day and have a job and work for somebody else? Will these things benefit you in your life? Absolutely. So as our brother Paul would say in teaching a message out of Proverbs, you know, if we can get these things, they will bless our lives and they will make us usable in the hands of the Master who purchased us with His own blood. You know, what we see here is a broken and a humble, contrite heart versus a proud, stubborn, and selfishness, unteachableness. You know, I think that pretty well answers to these verses. It's said a little differently, but it's the same spirit. Where in Matthew 8, and I don't think we'll take time to turn to all these verses, but you may write them down for reference. And in Matthew 8, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, a centurion met him there, and he said, "My servant, he's sick. He needs healing." And Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." And the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And when Jesus heard that, he marveled and said unto them that followed, "Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." What is the key right here out of these verses that we read that say it another way? What is it?
Under authority.
All right? Under authority. Now, you know, I know that sometimes that word, authority, is looked at as sort of having a bad connotation. But I want to tell you this morning, until we walk in being under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we walk in that broken and humble heart, and we are not in underneath that authority, we will keep banging our head against the wall, as it were. Can anybody identify with that? Can anybody, you know, you've experienced that? When you're just sort of pressing along, pushing along, you know, and in your own strength. I have not been a foreign missionary on the foreign field, but I've heard it said that this principle of being under authority or not being under authority is one of the reasons that many people don't make it on the field. Because you see, if I'm not under authority, what is my attitude likely to be? But one of unteachableness, one of stubbornness and self-centeredness. Under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and recognizing God's structure of authority in men here upon the earth. I am a man under authority. And I have soldiers and I tell them to do this and they do it. Why? Because that centurion is also, I am also a man under authority. So maybe there's some wisdom here for me as a father. If I'm struggling in trying to be in authority and establishing my authority, and I'm like having to muster it up, or I'm having to demand it, or somehow wield it, maybe it's because I'm not under authority to my head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I need to take a look at that. You know, it's a great blessing. It's a great blessing. And it causes us to be useful in the kingdom of God when we are men and women, young men, young ladies, who are humble and who are under authority, who are broken. One of the other things that I looked up here, one of the things that makes us useful in the kingdom of God is those that are obedient. In Ephesians 6, he tells them, servants, in Ephesians 6, 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. You know, what a joy it is when you give an order to someone and they're obedient. And they don't talk back with a better idea or why are you doing it this way, but they're obedient. Amen. Isn't that a great blessing? Amen. You know, it makes us a usable vessel that is profitable to the master when we have a heart of obedience. Servants, be obedient to your masters. As servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing your service as to the Lord and not to men. And see, that can turn it all around. I look at this man who's asking me to do this, and I say, he's a bit unreasonable. Oh, but he's my master. He's my Lord. And I'm going to do it as unto Jesus. And then there comes joy in doing it as unto the Lord. The obedient, even to the froward, right? Isn't that what he said? Even if they are a bit unreasonable. Because you know what that'll do? That's a school of Christ for me and you. And when we're obedient to that froward master, and even if we suffer wrongfully, we take it patiently. Oh, that's working a Christ-likeness in us. It's sanctifying and cleansing and purifying our motives and our heart. I said we're going to have a Bible study. Help me out. What makes you a usable servant, a profitable servant unto the Lord? We looked at number one. Okay, let's come down the list a little bit. What's number two? I shared a second one on obedience, but help me out. What's another one? Emmanuel.
Clean.
Clean. Explain a little more. I'll write it up a while. Clean. Tell me what you're talking about.
Pure in heart.
Oh, yes. Clean. Pure. You know, would I want to drink from this vessel if it looked like it had coffee, chocolate milk, and whatever all else in it, and all kinds of rings around the edges, and then somebody poured some water in it? Would you want to drink out of it? Clean. Yes, I like that. It's very good. Clean, pure. We must be cleansed. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. If ye put off all these, if a man purge himself from these, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Shun profane and vain babblings, it will increase to the more ungodliness. Oh, if a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, prepared, meet for the master's use. Well, of course, on the flip side, it's true, isn't it? We all know what needs to go on the other side of this one, don't we? Clean and pure.
Filthy.
Vile. a vessel prepared for the Master. What are some other things that just make a servant delightful to have? Loving one another. Yes.
Willing heart.
A willing heart. Amen. Loving. Willing. You know, does God love a grudging giver? Does He? No, God loveth a cheerful giver. They offered willingly of their substance to build the house of God. And so it is with us, brothers and sisters. I have a few wrote down. I have another one here. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. You know, when you can give instruction, let me tell you what we need to do here. This is what we need to do. In order to get this job done, we need to, like for example, I'll give you a real example. Just yesterday morning, we had the blessing of being at a wedding at 7:15 a.m. That meant we had to start pretty early. That meant I needed some faithful servants to help me who received instruction and carried it through. I won't tell you who the young man was because he wouldn't want to be praised and honored. But when I got there to the location a little bit before 6 a.m., because we had to set up a sound system so the people at the wedding can hear, this servant of the Lord asked me, "Now, what do you want me to do? How can I help you get it accomplished?" And I gave him instruction. And he was so good at carrying out those instructions. He didn't say, but why do you set your speaker there? Or why do you want the cords run this way? No arguments. We didn't stand there and waste a lot of breath and energy and time debating on what's the best way to do it. Because he recognized I was the master, he was the servant, and he was there to help. And it was such a joy. Not one answering back. Not once. And while I was doing this, he was doing that. It was a little menial what I gave him to do. I said, "Take this cord. You see this end? That belongs here. You see the other end of the cord? Way over there. It goes to that speaker. And then, after you've done that one, there's another speaker. And when you're finished with that one, now here's another cord. Look carefully at this end. This end belongs here. The other end goes to the microphones, which are going to be here." Okay. And while I was doing other things, he was doing that. And by the time I was finished doing the things I needed to do, hooking up a recorder to the mixer and bringing in microphones and putting them onto the stands, the cords were there. They were all run. And by the way, we need electricity to go to that speaker and to this speaker, and we need electricity here. Do you mind checking it out? I'll do it. Brought the cord over. We have no power. No lights come on. I'll take care of it. There's a generator up there. We may not have started it yet. A servant. Obedient. You know, I'd love to work with that young man some more. And you know what? Everybody else will too. Because he was profitable unto me. Is it great gifting that brings a man or a woman into place of blessing and position? Or is it faithfulness? faithfulness, amen, obedience. One who receives instruction, and he becomes yet wiser. For one that refuses instruction, he despises his own soul. You know, if you want to be a usable vessel to God, you might be pretty shiny, you might be able to make some noise, and you might be able to take a lot of heat, but if you're full of self and pride, we can't use a vessel like that. You'll get home from the mission field so fast because you will make trouble everywhere you go. Your marriage will be in trouble. Your boss and you can't get along. And you have such a bad boss. And your neighbors, they're so hard to get along with. And on will go the list. But the proud man never thinks to look at himself. It's everybody else's fault. I mean, you ought to see how they want to do things. They're so backward. I have a much better way to do it. Oh, but you're not the master. You're the servant. And the servant is obedient to his master. Give me some more. What are some other things that make a person useful? Brother Mel.
Merciful.
Attitude. Yes. Merciful. Merciful. What's another way to describe merciful? Somebody else? What's that?
Compassion.
Compassion. Patient, we could just write on. You know, if a person is full of compassion and mercy, that's just such a blessing compared to someone being judgmental, right? Critical. Like I said a little earlier, you ought to see how they do it. Critical. You wouldn't believe what my boss did. But you know, mercy and compassion, it doesn't do that. You know what makes another beautiful attribute and a usable servant? Is one who is easily entreated. Full of the wisdom that comes from above. Pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. What is the opposite of easily entreated? You know, here we have unteachable. What might be another one? You know, one who is entreatable. Entreatable. What's the opposite?
Never admits failure.
Never admits failure.
Unapproachable.
Rebellious. You know, this is so important. How do you spell unapproachable? Is there two P's in there? R-O-A-C-H-A-B-L-E. Unapproachable. Another simple word would be stubborn. Right? Stubborn. Instead of being intreatable, just unapproachable or stubborn.
Wise in his own eyes.
Yes. I think I have that one a bit later, but it fits right here. Wise in own eyes. I'm sure that's getting hard to read from back there. Wise in his own eyes. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him
Those are strong words. Those are not my words. That's from the Bible. I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, that thinking highly of myself, my opinion, my wisdom, my way is so much better than your way. And you know what? There's some people that will sit around alone and bounce from job to job because their way is better. And they sit and they are in poverty and misery and they have no friends. But they have their own way still and still haven't figured out somehow my way must not be that wise. And they are unprofitable, unusable in the kingdom of God. I don't want that for you this morning. I don't want that for my life. Oh Lord, I want to be a usable vessel in your hand. Prepared for your life calling. If we're not careful, we'll lean real heavy on the red over here. You know what I mean? And I really desire this message to be positive this morning. What can I do to prepare as a young person, as an older person? What can I do to prepare for my life's calling? Things that will bless me, whether I'm single, whether I'm married, whether I'm a foreign missionary, whether I work in the factory. What are some of those things that will bless our life, Brother Emmanuel?
Value counsel.
Value counsel. Yes. Value counsel. To value counsel. I had a verse for that in Proverbs just a moment ago. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. You know, to realize I don't have it all together. I need my brother, my sister. You know, these things are so foundational. What are some more that will help us to develop into a usable vessel, meet for the Master's use? Repent. If you're in sin, repent. Absolutely, brother. Yes. Brother Luke.
Observant.
Oh, yes. Observant. Learn from those who have done it before. That's good. Observant. Yes, Tanner.
Appreciative of others.
Yes, appreciate others and their contribution, their gifts. Very good. Some more. Yes, Joe.
You know that God's your father. You have a relationship with Him.
You know that God's your father. You have a relationship with Him. All the way in the back. Luke. Overflowing with the joy of the Lord. Yes. Who loves to have a moody servant around the house? One that's grumpy, downcast, a little bit like Eve said, you know, letting out that sigh of disgust. Servant, go do this. But a cheerful one that does it with joyfulness. Don't we like that when our children respond that way with cheerfulness? Do you think our Master likes it? Do you think our Lord approves of it? A usable vessel in the hand of the Master. Brother Emmanuel.
One that relates well with his Master.
Ah, yes, one that relates well with his Master.
little bit like I said about the servant helping me set up the sound system. He related so well. Yes, Brother Jeff. One that relates well with his subordinates, meaning those under him? Yes, very well. And Dale Charles?
Attentive.
Yes, you don't have to repeat the instructions four times. Yes, Robert?
Praying for others.
A life that is centered on blessing others. Amen, brother. Many hands going up. Arlen.
Thankful.
Hallelujah. I'm so thankful I have a job. Even though it may be hard work. I have to share a little testimony here. When I began working, my first job away from home, I was always self-employed up till then. And I felt the Lord had called me to build a recording studio to record music that would honor and glorify the Lord. And I sat there waiting for people to come to fill up the studio hours so it might support me and my family, and it didn't happen. It was slow going. So I had to humble myself and go get a job. And I don't have a rake here this morning to show you. But I went to work for Martin Landscaping, and thankfully I had a kind, understanding master, Earl Fox. But you know what? That first week at Martin Landscaping, I wasn't used to physical labor like that. I mean, I had worked some earlier, but my last year was, you know, sitting in the studio. And when I went out there that spring and we picked up those rakes and started to rake that soil, I got blisters all over my hands. My arms got so sore, and I thought, I can't make it anymore. But you know, by the grace of God, I was determined, I am not going to cave in. Lord, help me. So God, help me. Clifford Sharks here this morning. He knows what that was like. And I think that spring that I started, we had rain. And then the weather broke and got nice. And so they went from zero to full steam ahead. And out there at Pete Church Development, you remember those, Cliff? Out there at Pete Church Development, we just went from house to house. You didn't even get to have a rest getting in the truck driving to the next job because you had all these houses to landscape all in one big development. Wow. But you know, I thank God for that. That was good for me. I hadn't worked under another boss ever. I was always my own boss. That was really good for me. Now, how did I get on to that? Thankfulness. Yes, I remember that. It's one of the things that carried me through. Thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, I have a job. Thank you, Lord, I'm working with brothers in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. And I say that to the glory of God, not to any praise to me. Others, what are some of the things that bless us? Brother Mel.
An outlook of faith.
Amen. Faith-filled. Looking at things from the perspective of what God can do in the situation. Faith-filled. Amen. Brother Steve.
Faithfulness in the little things that nobody notices.
Yes. Because God notices. He says, you get in your closet. You do your alms deeds not before men. You do them in secret. And then what happens? God rewards you openly. You know what? We haven't had any from the sisters' side. I think it would be much blessing to hear from their perspective as well. When you think of things that bless you in a maid servant in your house, give us some. What makes a faithful servant?
Contentment.
Yes. I had that one listed. Contentment. Godliness with contentment. It's great gain. And I just want to expound on that a little bit. You know, when we are content in where God has us, and we are happy in that occupation, in that station, I mean, it just makes such a difference. compared to discontent. And then when you're discontent, you tend to grumble and, you know, complain. And when will it ever be time to go home? I'm tired of this. You know, and on goes the list. Contentment. Very good. Some more from the sister side.
Not being super sensitive or easily offended.
Not being super sensitive or easily offended. Yes. That goes well with just, you know, going with the flow. Being able to receive instruction, you know, and being teachable and not being easily offended. That is so true. Others from the sister's side. Yes.
Honest.
Absolutely. Honest. Truthful. Sincere heart. Full of truth. Honest. Others, yes.
Trusting the authority rather than being anxious.
Yes. That's that place of rest. My authorities that are over me, they're blessing my life. I may not understand everything, but I trust. God is working. Yes.
Look for a need and fill it.
Oh, that's good. You know, it's like walking around the house. What shall I do? There's nothing to do. You know, but the floor needs sweeping and there's toys that need picked up and there's, you know, dishes that need washed and, but I don't see the work. Oh, that's good. Others? Some other sisters? A usable vessel. Yes, Helen. Willing to lay aside your own desires, your own ambitions to do, to fulfill the need of your servant, your master. Amen? Did I understand that right? Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Cheerfulness, thankfulness. If there's some more sisters, just raise your hand. We'll get to you. You know, one other thing that's so important is that we have a forgiving heart. We heard a whole message on it just a Sunday ago. A forgiving heart. When something does come up and we do err and we make a mistake, that we forgive one another even as Christ forgave and we don't hold a grudge. There's people who've had to quit their jobs because they held a grudge against their boss or a fellow worker. And this thing festered and it festered, and it got worse, and it got worse. And the boss tried to reconcile. Would you please forgive me? I know I was wrong. And the words might come out, I forgive you. But you know what? That thing's still festering in the heart. And finally, after 2 months of broken relationship and difficulties everywhere, you need to quit. Oh, it will render us an unfit vessel if we do not forgive. But here's a real good one. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Diligence. You know, just plodding on, pressing in. Diligent. Diligent. Just right there. Diligence. Jesus said, he that received 5 talents brought 5 other talents. Lord, thou deliverest me 5 talents. I gained 5 other. He said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Diligence. I'd like to speak just a little bit about order and diligence. You know, a disciplined life. You might think, hey, come on, Aaron, this is first grade. And it may be first grade, but it is so vital. If there is an ordered, disciplined life that is diligent, and it's orderly, like our brother Mike shared in the children's class, there's order. I mean, your life will be blessed. And you will be a usable vessel. But if we're undisciplined and we're lazy, slothful, and guess what? hey, I'm going to the mission field, you know. I'm going to shore up here, you know. But you know what? If it's not really in there, you'll impress your fellow workers or your fellow friends around you for a few days or maybe a few weeks. Or maybe you'll get a hold of the grace of God and you will really change. Or you'll fall back to your old routines and that old slothfulness is going to catch up with you and you never thought you'd do it, but here I am. I am ashamed of how slothful I am and my friends see it. And I have a shameful testimony. When I was in my youth, my oldest brother went to the hospital for a surgery and they asked me to come and help milk his dairy herd up in Elizabethtown. And I thought, so sure, I'm going to be able to do this. I'm going to put my heart in it. I love my older brother. He's really blessed me. I love to be on the farm. He's going off to the hospital. I'm going to be a helper there. And I was already driving my own vehicle, so you know how old I was. But you know what? That undisciplined slothfulness on Monday morning, I never got up in time to go out and milk the cows. And at about, 6 o'clock, one of his little boys comes to my bedroom door, bang, bang, you know. And I was so ashamed. Because here his wife was out milking the cows since 4:45. While the servant was in his slothfulness in his bed. That was so humbling. I felt so ashamed. So my dear brothers and sisters, prepared for your life's calling. Oh, what a blessing. Diligent, consistent, ordered life. Any other sisters have something they want to share? It's time to close this message. Any brothers? I'm sorry, I missed a sister. Yes. Oh, yes. Willing to seek forgiveness when there is something done wrong, things are messed up. Yes. Opening the heart. Yes. Healing the relationship. Not withdrawing, but bridging that breach of relationship and seek to be restored. Most men will proclaim everyone his goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And then in Nehemiah we have this testimony. Hanani, the ruler of the palace, he gave charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man, and he feared God above many. And there'd be many more we could look at. But I want to close this message with this little illustration as we close out this message. You know, there's one thing all these vessels have in common, and I'll let you tell me what it is. One thing all these vessels have in common. They are all varied. They are all very different. But they do have one thing in common. Anybody tell me what it is? They're open. That's very good. I hadn't even thought of that one. These vessels are open at the top. Hallelujah. You must be open at the top if you want to receive the blessing and glory of God in your life. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that. You know, that's what's such a blessing in the body of Christ, when you have so many different gifts and brethren and calling and sisters with all the different callings. These vessels are all empty and clean. And what else? They all have been washed in the blood of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. There's another very major one we haven't hit yet.
They have no will of their own.
They have no will of their own. I just pick them up and I put in there what I wish and they don't rebel in the Master's hand. They're willing to be used
Oh, that is so good.
They all have ability to hold.
Ah, they all have ability to hold. There are no leaks in these vessels. All of these vessels, varied and diverse as they are, different colors, different shapes, different sizes, and all manner of different types, but all are without leaks. Brother Reuben. And by the time we're done, they'll all have the same element in them. And what is that element? It's water. Jesus said, I am the water of life. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Brother, sister, today, God isn't looking for greatness in size. He's not looking for greatness in ability, but He's looking for usableness. Usableness. Jesus works from the inside out. Amen, Brother Robert. And that which is within comes out. Now here's an exception to all these vessels. We'll put that one back. That is a basket. But you know all these vessels, they're all useful to contain whatever the Master wants to put in them. And if you feel here today like I'm a basket, you know God needs baskets too. There are certain types of things that we do with baskets that we would never do with this vessel. Isn't that right? So my dear brother and sister, everyone under the sound of my voice this morning has the same privilege and ability to be washed and cleansed and made into a usable vessel by God. But then we also have a part to play. God does His part. He says, I will wash you, I will cleanse you from all your filthiness. And then He says, now you, if you purge yourself from all of these worldly, fleshly, carnal, wicked, sinful things, you shall be a vessel. Meet for the Master. That means profitable, sanctified, fit, prepared for every good work. And oh, how we delight in that. We can experience that. Emmanuel, don't you just love it when your roofers do their jobs and they don't come back and say, Emmanuel, I think you're wrong. We shouldn't do it this way. I mean, why did you ever? You know, no, but a faithful servant. Now, a master, a servant can appeal to his master and he can say, Master, you know, I would have a thought. Maybe you weren't on the job. Maybe you didn't see it. Could I share a thought? You know, those things can happen, but it's in humility. And you know what it is? The servant has the best in mind for his master. That's what it is. He loves his master. He wants to see his master profitable and profit. Well, amen. I've shared enough. I thank you all for your participation. And let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, will you take this little teaching and bring it home to our hearts? Sometimes in the school of Christ, we get discontented. We want to look for bigger and better things. Lord, help us to not miss what you want to teach us today. Father, I pray you would cause us, Lord, to receive from your hand that which you have for us. The school I'm in right now, Lord. Father, cause our eyes to be open to see that we will be made into a vessel sanctified and honorable for the Master's use, if we'll respond rightly. Father, I pray for any here today who recognize there's leaks in my vessel. Lord, I pray that they would not be discouraged, but they would run to the Master who is able to heal and to pour in the oil and the wine and restore the vessel to usableness. He's able to take the vessel and in the master potter's hand, form it into a beautiful, usable vessel when we are broken. Oh, Lord Jesus, have your way, we pray. And take us on, all of us, into greater usefulness in your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's let scripture go, Brother Emmanuel. To this man, why look? To him that does justly and walks humbly before his God. I think there's another word there. But I just had to think, you know, as Aaron was sharing the scripture in Acts where the apostles brought out the prophecy of Joel. Says here, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You know, in order to have that spirit poured into our lives, there must be a walking in humility before our God. A walking in surrender and yieldedness. And in that, God pours His Spirit out into our lives and thus, and you know, He pours His Spirit out to the degree that within us are rivers of living water that then flow out to the Church of Jesus Christ, to a needy world around us. So let's be vessels that are full of the Spirit of God. They're simply filled with His Spirit. And He promises to pour it out upon us. Okay, I'll open it up. Maybe there's just a few who would have a word yet of testimony or comment on the message. Get your hand up and a mic will be gotten to you. Is there any yet? Right, sister?
Brother Aaron said that he has said enough. I think I could go on listening all day. And I thank you, Brother Aaron, for having that basket in there. At our house, sometimes we feel like quite a basket case, but praise God, He uses baskets too.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Any others yet?
Yeah, just praise God for the message. And I thought about it as I looked at those vessels, that you know, different vessels are more usable for different days. Sometimes that the teapot is very usable to the master on a cold day.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other days where I'd actually rather see that pitcher because it could be full of ice water or iced tea, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so different people in God's kingdom, God has different times and seasons and opportunities where my gifts just won't fulfill the need.
Mm-hmm.
And some other brothers will. I'm just
that's
thankful
good,
for that.
Amen. Yeah, that's good. Two more up here. Somebody in the back here. Let's have a sister share who has a mic at this time.
I just want to say, Brother Aaron, thank you very much for the message today. It's many things that I've been thinking about, that I need to be more humble and more broken before God. And I just... You just brought this message today just for me, I feel. I know I have not always been humble and under authority, and I desire to be more like Christ and be under my parents' authority and be a blessing and be a useful vessel.
Amen. God bless you, sister. Mike over here, warmer.
Yes, after this message, I just feel like a vessel that is full of holes. My thoughts just go back to the leadership seminar. The Lord does want to heal me or all of those that feel like we're full of holes. In the leadership seminar, one of the messages was that how does a broken vessel stay full? And that is to stay under the fountain. My longing would be is to stay under the fountain till He heals me through and through, till those holes can be healed shut again.
Amen. God bless you, Wilmer. Anybody have a mic over here on this side? Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
A thought that came to mind after the list was completed there was the ability to, as a servant, ask good questions. I remember as a young Christian feeling so inadequate, so I spent a lot of years going to Bible school and seminary so I could tell others what I'd learned. And that's how I thought I could serve, is by telling and speaking. And as I'm getting older, as I laid aside a lot of those young man's ambitions, God's been reminding me and re-reminding me of the value as a husband and as a father, and sometimes as a servant to my brothers and sisters, but mostly as a husband and father, He's been reminding me of the value of asking good questions. I was really blessed by Ephraim's opening. Just a simple question, whether it's to our wife or our children, of what are you thinking? What are you feeling? We're in a crisis or we've had a misunderstanding. What are you thinking right now? What are you feeling? It seems that when I'm quiet and I ask the question, it gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to begin to speak. And He's such a better teacher than I am. He's such a better counselor. He's a wonderful counselor, the Bible says. And I think there's many times when He's just saying, I have so much to share if you'll be quiet, Jeff, and learn to ask. Then they'll start to hear me, and you can listen too to what comes out of their mouth. You might learn too. It's a humbling thing. I don't feel it abdicates my leadership as a father or as a husband, but it makes me a servant leader.
Any others yet? Take one more here, and then I think we'll move on here.
My wife's not here today. She has a little sickness this morning, but if she was, I think she would probably share what I'll share. Something we've talked about over the years, you know, especially when we had just younger children, we had quite a few young ladies that came and helped us, and that was a real blessing to our life. Have servants come in and do some of the things that my wife couldn't get to, and we often talked about it over the years, what a difference it made depending on the attitude that the person had. And for several of them had, I don't know if I can describe it, but they had an attitude of honor that it was like they thought you were the greatest. And what a difference that made in the joy that my wife had in giving jobs to do, and in the feeling of that honor, I guess is the word. Mm-hmm. And there were some that maybe had more of an attitude of they could do it better. They knew a better system, or they, you know, and so forth, and they may have. You know, but it made such a difference in my wife to just have that restfulness that comes when you're honored. And as I was thinking about how to describe that, I think that's what it means when it says in Philippians, the mind of Christ, it says, let each esteem other better than themselves. And so that's a challenge, you know. Do we really do that? And when we do, it makes it such... It enables other people to have such freedom and blessing. So I wanted to share that.
Amen. Amen. All right, where it says, you know, about God pouring out His Spirit, it says, and ye shall prophesy. You know, and Brother Jeff, I think it's in words, but also by our very life, like you're saying. You know, ye shall prophesy. Out of our belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. And it comes forth in attributes such as Aaron expressed to us this morning, the character of Christ.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902. Or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.